Hello and welcome in to another episode of the Big Ten Blitz. As always, I'm your host, Sean, and we have a really exciting episode ahead of ourselves today as we are really delving into the thick of our college football preview content here at the Floor Slap for the 2024 season. And Vegas came out with their college football win totals a few months ago, but they've been fluctuating over the past few months, and as we've seen, you know, these teams play in the spring and college football rosters and coaching staffs have been finalized across the country. The win totals have finally settled now, and today we are finally going to go through them and pick our favorite win totals over or under for the Big Ten. We have 10 picks today, 9 from the Big Ten, and a surprise at the end from a team outside the Big Ten. We can dive right in today, going over or under win totals for Big Ten teams for the 2024 season. And the first team I want to talk about is a team I've been very vocal all offseason about how I feel about their program, how I think their coach and this program is heading in the right direction. And in fact, just in our last episode, I talked about how I think this team is a bowl team in 2024, and that's the Indiana Hoosiers. Their over-under for wins right now is set at 5.5, and I am all in on that over. The price is plus 100, even odds, so really good value too. I've talked about how this roster has really been made over by new head coach Kurt Cignetti, thanks to a lot of key pickups in the transfer portal. A lot of it starts at quarterback, where they bring in Curtis Rourke, 3-year starter at Ohio, former MAC Offensive Player of the Year. They have a really good collection of talent and experience at both running back and receiver. Their offensive line returns 3 starters and also brings in 3 guys via the portal that will contend for starting positions. Their defensive front loses a lot of talent, but they also brought in a boatload of transfer talent. James Carpenter and CJ West, 2 former all-conference players at defensive tackle that come in, where they bring in Jalen Walker, who was all Sunbelt for JMU last year, and they have some good talent in the secondary. But you know, hitting these over-under totals has as much to do with how your schedule shakes out as it has to do with the talent on your roster. And I really like Indiana's schedule this season. Let's take a look at it. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see their schedule now. We'll be putting up all of these teams' schedule as we break down their win totals. But looking at Indiana's start to the season, they genuinely could be favored in their first 6 games. They have FIU and Western Illinois at home. That should be an easy 2-0 start, even for Indiana. Then they go on the road to UCLA. That is a tough road trip to make in week 3 of the season, all the way out to the West Coast to play in the Rose Bowl. And it's certainly not an easy win. UCLA can put up a fight. They have a veteran quarterback, some good talent at the skill position players, but I am projecting UCLA to be one of the bottom 2 teams in the Big Ten this year. I just don't think they have the depth, size, or talent up front on either side of the line of scrimmage to really hang in this Big Ten. I would take Indiana in that game. Then they come back home to play Charlotte. That should be a win. And then they play at home against Maryland and at Northwestern. I'll talk more about both of those teams coming up, but I really think that could be a 6-0 start for the Hoosiers. They should be favored in every one of those games. So let's go conservative. Let's play devil's advocate. I certainly see 6 wins already. I think there's a chance that they could hit the over before October's even done. But let's go conservative. Let's say they drop 2 games. They could certainly lose at UCLA, and then Maryland isn't going to be a total slouch this year. Let's say they're 4-2. It means they only have to win 2 more games in the back half of that schedule. So let's look at that schedule. They play at Nebraska. That, surprisingly, could be a matchup of undefeated teams, but it's in Lincoln. Winnable game for Indiana, but I won't go as far as to predict a win right now. And then they come back home against Washington and Michigan State. Again, 2 games where I think Indiana has the advantage in the trenches. I think that they can certainly win both of those games. They should be favored in those, but let's go conservative. Let's say they split those games. So now we're looking at 5 wins. Need to get 1 more win out of at home against Michigan, on the road against Ohio State. Can't imagine it comes from one of those games. And then they get Purdue at home to finish out the season. That's a rivalry game. It's never easy. Anything could happen. If I'm Indiana and they're going into that Purdue game at home, needing a win to a bowl game in Kurt Cignetti's first year and hit the over for their win total projection, I like that bet. I would take that any day of the week. And again, I was being conservative, saying that they could lose to UCLA and Maryland and either Washington or Michigan State. I think there's a very real chance that they have 6 wins locked up before November's over. Of all my picks that we're going through today, this might be the one I am most confident in. And again, we're at even odds, so great value. So Indiana, over 5.5 wins for the 2024 season. Lock it in. The second team I want to talk about is a team I just mentioned, Maryland. And in our last episode, I talked about Maryland as well, how I'm going stale on them, not only for just 2024, but their program as a whole. A lot of it does have to do with that quarterback position, where they say farewell to three-year starter Talia Tagovailoa. And even though they got some great skill position talent, Roman Hemby, wide receiver Caden Prather, you know, all Big Ten potential at running back and wide receiver, skill position talent alone does not win games in the Big Ten. You win games in the trenches, and that's where Maryland is going to struggle the most. I talked in our last episode about how this offensive line has struggled for years under Mike Locksley, and now this season they lose four starters from an offensive line that got dominated, really week in and week out, in the Big Ten. And they brought in three transfers, but only one of those guys has any starting experience, and he's coming up from D2. So I don't see a huge influx of talent unless they're going to rely on some true freshmen, which is a dangerous game in the Big Ten. And then the defensive side of the ball, you know, it's a similar story on that defensive line. Defensive line does not look to be up to par as far as what you tend to see around the Big Ten. And they do have some talent in the back end of that defense, but as a whole, I feel like that defense is going to take a step back. And just all in all, I think from a team that only won six regular season games last year, I see a lot of steps backward at most position groups, especially the most integral ones to winning in the Big Ten, like quarterback, offensive line, defensive line. Don't see a lot of reasons for optimism. But again, like I said with Indiana, this has much to do with your schedule, so let's take a look at the Terps' schedule in 2024. They open up at home against UConn, that should be a win, and then they have Michigan State at home, and then Virginia on the road. Both of those games, I think, are coin flips. Let's go a little conservative, let's say they split those games, and then they come back home to play Villanova at home, that should be a win. So let's say a 3-1 start for Maryland. And then they have Indiana on the road and Northwestern at home. Again, more winnable games for Maryland. So as down as I am on Maryland for the season, their schedule is actually pretty manageable, and there is a chance that they're favored in their first six games. And so even though I would favor Indiana hosting Maryland in that game, let's say Maryland picks up that win and they pick up Northwestern. Let's say they start off 5-1. That's a really great start for Maryland. It means they only have to win two more games to hit that over. But that's where things get really tricky for the Terps. Their schedule in the back half of the season is brutal. They get USC at home. I think it's going to be really hard for the Terps to keep up with that offense. Then they go on the road to Minnesota, really high on the Gophers this year. I'll talk about them in a little bit. On the road to Oregon, no shot they can pull off that upset. And then I talked about their weakness at the line of scrimmage. They come back home to play Rutgers and Iowa, two teams that project to really dominate both sides of the line of scrimmage. And then they go on the road to Penn State. Now, Maryland's done a pretty good job at keeping games close against Ohio State and Michigan over the past few years for the most part. But Penn State has really been the hurdle that they have not been able to get over. Penn State just seems to routinely blow the doors off of them. I can't see a scenario where Maryland is picking up an upset in Happy Valley. So I'm looking at those final six games, I don't see a win, let alone two wins. And so that's, even if Maryland's 2024 season starts off impeccably and they go 6-0 with that fairly reasonable schedule, I think there's a real shot that they finish with six straight losses. Because I don't see a win there. I really don't. And that's why I am so confident in my pick here, under 6.5 for Maryland. The price is minus 120. It has been trending down, so if you want to jump on this, jump on it now. But Maryland, very confident in my pick of under 6.5 wins for the 2024 season. Third, I'm going to go with Michigan State, whose expectations seem to be at a record low coming into 2024. I know there's a lot of excitement around Jonathan Smith coming over from Oregon State and what he can do for this program, but none of it seems to have really translated into optimism for this season. They're over-under is set at 4.5, tied for the lowest in the Big Ten. And I'm going over very confidently. The price is minus 150, not the sexiest, not the most profitable price you can get. But I'm really confident that Michigan State can win at least five games. And a lot of it has to do, like I mentioned, with Jonathan Smith coming over from Oregon State, a great head coach. He is taking over a situation in East Lansing that is way better than what he took over in Oregon State. And a lot of it has to do with the upgrade they get at quarterback too. Aiden Childs, former blue chip prospect, got some good experience in his freshman year. He's coming over. I think he will be able to fix a lot of the offensive issues that the Spartans have had to endure over the past couple seasons. And they have Nate Carter, who is a name to know at running back. So he showed tremendous growth, I think, in the spring, showing some of the explosion that was really lacking from his game last year. I think this Michigan State team is going to be able to put up some points and they return enough on defense to be competent. But again, let's take a look at their schedule. Can we find 5 wins on this schedule? They open up with FAU at home. That should be a win. Maryland on the road. I would probably favor Michigan State in this game. Oh, there's a lot of new faces on this team. It's on the road. Let's be conservative. Let's say they lose that game. And then they get Prairie View at home. Don't know if I've ever heard of Prairie View, but Spartans should definitely win that game. And then they go on the road to BC. Another kind of toss-up game. Again, let's be conservative. I would favor Michigan State in this game, but let's say it's a 2-2 start for them. And then they have a really tough 4-game stretch. Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa, Michigan. 2 at home, 2 on the road. Iowa at home is certainly a winnable game for Michigan State. They played them really tough last year. But again, let's go conservative. Let's say they lose those 4 games. And now all of a sudden, 8 games into the season, you're looking at a 2-6 start. Looks pretty bleak in order to hit this over. And they need to win 3 of their final 4 games. But those games are all winnable. Indiana, Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers, 3 of them at home. I think this is the type of team with the veteran leadership that they have on both sides of the ball that will be playing their best football later in the season. The Michigan State schedule is far from easy, but it certainly is manageable. And with their win total over under all the way down at 4.5, I feel like 5 is a gimme. Even at minus 150, I'm taking that. Take Michigan State over 4.5 wins to the bank for 2024. Next, we're staying in the Midwest, going to go over to Minnesota. I just mentioned them earlier. I am really high on the Gophers. It seems like one bad season has put a bad taste in everyone's mouth, and everyone has forgotten what PJ Fleck has been able to accomplish at Minnesota. Granted, last year was a really ugly season, a 6-6 regular season. I'm sorry, a 5-7 regular season, where they made a bowl game on a technicality, ended up finishing 6-7. Defense just got punished all season long. Their passing game was a complete mess, but they return almost everyone from last year's team. This is a veteran-led team. I am a little bit worried about the quarterback position. They bring in Max Brosmer from New Hampshire, and he was one of the most prolific passers in the FCS, but you cannot understate the jump from going from the FCS to the Big Ten. It is a big step up in competition. I'm not expecting Max Brosmer to be a difference maker at quarterback. I'm not expecting him to really be able to push the ball downfield consistently, but with his experience, I think that he can manage this offense better than Ethan Calicmanis was able to last year, and I think Max Brosmer is the type of quarterback that won't lose Minnesota very many, if any, games, which is really all you have to ask for from the quarterback position, considering how much talent this team has elsewhere. At running back, they have Darius Taylor, who was going to be the best freshman in all of college football before an injury cost him most of the season. He had almost 900 rushing yards in 6 games last year. Off-the-wall productivity, and they bring in a couple other transfers too to back him up, give some depth of that position. Daniel Jackson, one of the best receivers in the Big Ten and the country, a really underrated name. Their offensive line returns 4 starters. Defensive front returns everyone from last year. Granted, that defensive front got pushed around a lot last year, but they should be healthier than last year. And they're in the secondary, they lose their best player in Tyler Newbin at safety, but they return their top cornerback in Justin Wally. So really, there is talent and experience and depth at every single position group, and the fact that their over-under is set below 6 is really beyond me. Again, I get last year was a disappointment, and I get some Minnesota fans are starting to sour a bit on PJ Fleck, but you can't just completely forget about the infrastructure that really he has set in Minnesota over the past almost decade now. But let's take a look at that schedule. Again, their win total is set at 5.5. Can we find 6 wins on this schedule? Well, they open up with FAU, Rhode Island, and Nevada all at home. That should be an easy 3-0 start. We're already halfway there. And then they have Iowa at home. They actually upset Iowa on the road last year. And that's certainly a winnable game for Minnesota. Again, we'll go conservative. We'll say that's a loss. Then they have at Michigan. That's a loss probably. And then back home against USC. Again, a really winnable game for Minnesota. Wouldn't be surprised if they're favored in that. But we're going a little conservative. Let's say they drop 3 after that 3-0 start. So we need to find 3 more wins in their back half of their schedule. Well, I feel like that's pretty easy. They have on the road against UCLA, at home against Maryland, on the road against Illinois. That could be your 3 wins right there. I would firmly favor Minnesota in all 3 of those games. And then they finish with at Rutgers, at home against Penn State, and at Wisconsin. I don't think Minnesota would be favored in any of those games, but all 3 of those games are winnable. Even Penn State at home. they've played Penn State really tough over the years. Wouldn't be surprised if they can pull off that upset. And then at Wisconsin in that rivalry game to end the season, a lot could be riding on that game. So again, I'm looking at the schedule, very manageable. They definitely have a couple tough stretches, but I think 6 wins is certainly attainable. I just think there's too much experience. I think PJ Fleck understands how important this game, this year is to keeping his job, staying off the hot seat, and keeping Minnesota fans happy. So I think Minnesota is a big surprise team. Wouldn't be surprised if they win 8 games and end up in the top 25 this year. And for my next couple teams, we're going to go with the big boys in the Big Ten. First up, Ohio State, whose over-under is set at 10.5. And we'll get into their schedule in a bit, but on talent alone, I'm honestly surprised that their over-under isn't set at 11.5. Ohio State has the most talented roster in college football. Oregon and Georgia, even Texas, is certainly nipping at their heels, and it's not going to be a breeze to get into the college football playoff and, you know, ultimately win a championship for Ohio State. But at a certain point, you have to call a spade and be like, Ohio State has too much talent for them not to have at least 11 regular season wins. Their offensive line only loses one starter. They bring in Seth McLaughlin from Alabama, who, despite his snapping concerns, one of the best pass blocking centers in college football last year. They have a plethora of riches at the offensive skill position players, headlined by the best running back duo in the country with Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. At quarterback, they should be getting an upgrade from Kyle McCord, a Will Howard longtime starter at Kansas State, or Devin Brown, a seasoned backup who looked a lot better in the spring than he did last year. And either one of those guys are great with their legs and add another dimension, being able to run the football that this offense has been missing since Justin Fields. And they have the best defense in college football. And it starts up front with guys like Tyleek Williams, JT Tuimoloau, and Jack Sawyer on the defensive line. Sony Styles, former five-star prospect that moves from safety to linebacker. And then their secondary has an embarrassment of riches. I think has 4 or 5 future NFL starters with Caleb Downs, Davison Igbinosin, Denzel Burke, Jordan Hancock, Lathan Ransom. Just so much talent in that secondary. Again, a lot of it has to do with schedule, being able to hit your win total on the year. Speaking of schedule, let's take a look at Ohio State's schedule. They open up Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall, Michigan State, Iowa. And yeah, Iowa's usually not an easy out, but I really can't see a scenario where the Hawkeyes are walking into the Shoe and upsetting this Ohio State team. They should be 5-0 going into that road trip at Oregon, one of the biggest games of the college football season. And right now, Oregon's the favorite in that game. And if I had to pick right now, I'd probably pick Oregon to win that game. And I think a big part of it has to do with Ryan Day's mindset, realizing now he doesn't have to go undefeated. He can afford a loss, maybe even two. What's most important is that they are healthy and playing their best football at the end of the season for that Michigan game, for the Big Ten championship, and ultimately into the playoffs so they can then make a run. Like, playing your best football in October in Oregon, it'd be really nice to win that game, but it's not essential to win a championship. And I think Ryan Day understands that. Not saying that Ohio State won't want to win that game, but I think that they understand that it's not a winner, you're out of the playoff kind of scenario. And then, so let's say they lose that game. They're 5-1 entering the back half of their schedule. And then they get Nebraska at home, which could certainly be difficult. Nebraska might be undefeated heading into that matchup. But I have a hard time seeing the Huskers, again, walk into the Shoe and beat this Ohio State team. Then they go on the road to Penn State. That's going to be a tough matchup. Yes, Ohio State's only lost once to Penn State since 2011. But those games are rarely easy for them. And then they get Purdue, Northwestern, Indiana before finishing with Michigan at home. And no one has to tell you how important that game is for Buckeye Nation and how difficult of a win that will be. So you look at Oregon, Nebraska, Penn State, Michigan. Like, there are certainly opportunities for this Ohio State team to be tripped up. But at the end of the day, this team is just too talented to not win 11 games. If this team goes 10-2 in the regular season, Ryan Day might not make it to the playoff. Like, this team has too much talent. And so I'm taking the over 10.5 wins. Yeah, the price is minus 150. I am all in on the Buckeyes this year. They are my favorite to win the Big Ten and the national championship for a reason. And then to the other big boy in the Big Ten, Oregon. Their over-under is also set at 10.5. And I'm also going to go over for Oregon, but at a much better price of plus 100, even odds for the Ducks at over 10.5. And I mentioned it before, Oregon is right there with Georgia and Texas as the most talented teams in the country, nipping on Ohio State's heels. lot of it has to do with the addition of Dylan Gabriel, longtime starter at both Oklahoma and UCF, coming in as a one-year rental, should really keep this offense at a high-paced level, taking over for Bo Nix. If there's a team in college football that has more talent at the offensive skill positions, it's Oregon. With Jordan James and Jay Harris at running back, Tez Johnson, Evan Stewart at wide receiver, and Terrence Ferguson at tight end. They also might have one of, if not the best, offensive line in all of college football, losing only one starter and bringing in longtime Indiana starter Matthew Bedford to help fill in the holes on the interior line. Defensive line loses a lot of talent, but they also have a lot of top-tier talent in the waiting wings. And again, if there's a secondary that can hold the candle to Ohio State's, it's Oregon. Has a lot to do with grabbing Jabbar Muhammad from Washington. He was one of the best cornerbacks in all of college football last year for the Huskies. Now he comes over to their rival to play for Oregon. Really interesting situation there. And again, my pick for Oregon has more to do with the talent on this team than anything else. But let's take a look at their schedule. They open up with Akron at home, easy win, and then Boise State at home, followed by a road trip to Oregon State. A sneaky, tricky start to the schedule for Oregon. Now, I hate to be devil's advocate to this degree, but Boise State is one of the best group of five teams in the country, and then they have to go on the road the week after to play their rival. Granted, Oregon State is not the same team they were last year, but those are two pretty tricky games. Wouldn't be shocked if Oregon, with all the pressure that this season has, with how talented, with how good everyone's expecting them to be, wouldn't be shocked if they crack a little bit under that pressure early and they drop one of those games, but I'm certainly not predicting that right now. And then they have UCLA and Michigan State after that before they host Ohio State. And again, I picked Oregon to win when I went for Ohio State, so we're going to continue with that. I see them being 6-0 going into the back half of their schedule. They have Purdue and Illinois, should be wins. And they go at Michigan. A really tough game. If I had to pick that today, I would pick Michigan to win. And then they finish Maryland, Wisconsin, Washington. Again, I think three more wins. So really what, again, I mentioned those two games early in the season, Boise State and Oregon State, could be tricky, but I wouldn't expect them to lose those games. What this is really going to come down to are their games against Ohio State and Michigan. They just got to win one of those, and I think they can. Again, the schedule is not the easiest in the world, but it is manageable. And like Oregon is a consensus top five team in the preseason for a reason. I think anything other than an 11 or 12 win regular season would be an utter disappointment for this roster and Dan Lanning. Next up, I'm going to jump to the Northwestern Wildcats. And now their over-under has shifted a little bit. It was at 5.5 for a while, but that price kept going down and down. Now I'm seeing under 5.5 at about minus 220 odds, or under 4.5 at plus 122 odds, depends on the book. Either way, I'm going under, and I would go with that under 4.5 at a much better price of what, plus 122. And listen, it kills me to do this because I told myself last offseason that I would not discount Northwestern again. I would not take them for granted because it was an incredible story last season. New head coach David Braun taking over an absolute mess in the wake of Pat Fitzgerald being fired. On paper, had one of the least talented teams in the Big Ten, were a consensus last place pick by the media. And he just went, put together a 7-6 season with a win over Utah in the bowl game. Cannot say enough for what David Braun was able to do with that team. And I really hope he proves me wrong because it's really hard to root against Northwestern. But I'm just looking up and down this roster and I'm looking at this new look Big Ten, which is the deepest conference in the country. And I have a really hard time seeing five wins on this schedule. And a lot of it also has to do with Brendan Sullivan, their quarterback, transferring out, going to Iowa. They're now relying on likely Mike Wright, a transfer from Vanderbilt, who is a great athlete, but a very unpolished passer. And I don't think that Northwestern really has the size up front, especially with Josh Preeb transferring to Michigan, or the talent at the skill position players. Like Bryce Kurtz and A.J. Henning are a nice kind of receiving duo they have, but they're not difference makers at the position. They're not great after the catch. They're not great at creating separation. I feel like Mike Wright is going to be asked to do a lot for this offense. And it's a similar story on the defensive side of the ball, where I just am not seeing a ton of the athletes in space, the size up front, or the depth they need to really contend as one of the better defenses in the conference. But let's take a look at their schedule, because we only got to find five wins. Well, it's not a very easy start for Northwestern. They have Miami, Ohio, and Duke at home out of the gate. And Miami of Ohio, you might forget, was the MAC champion last year, one of the most prolific offenses in the country, won 11 games. That is not going to be an easy game for Northwestern. And then they have to host Duke, who dominated them last year. An 0-2 start is not out of question here. I'll go conservative. Let's say they go 1-1. Then they get Eastern Illinois at home. It's a 2-1 start. And then they go on the road to Washington. Northwestern might have the edge on the line of scrimmage there, but I think that's a tough road trip to make early in the season. I think Washington has the firepower that Northwestern just can't stay with. That's probably a win for Washington. And then they have Indiana at home on the road against Maryland. I would probably put Northwestern as an underdog in both of those games. But again, we'll go conservative. Let's say those split those games. So I'm looking, even on the more optimistic side, I'm looking at probably a 3-3 start for them, which isn't bad. We got to find two wins in the back half of their schedule. They have Wisconsin at home and then Iowa and Purdue on the road, followed by Ohio State, Michigan, Illinois. Well, I think the only two winnable games I'm seeing here, they are Purdue and Illinois. And you can certainly see a path for 5, maybe even 6 wins for Northwestern. But I feel like a lot of things have to go right. And Northwestern won a lot of close games last year. And that's not a trend that usually continues year over year. I think a lot of those close games are probably going to go end up being losses for Northwestern this year. So schedule-wise, it is manageable despite a sneaky, tough non-conference schedule. Their conference schedule isn't that bad. But you know, at the end of the day, I just have a hard time seeing this roster and you know, how they can get back to a bowl game. I feel like last year was more of an anomaly than it is a sign of things to come for the Wildcats. And next, I'm going to go to the Big Ten's other purple team out west, the Washington Huskies. You know, the defending Pac-12 champions, defending national runner-up, if that's a term. You know, both Washington and Michigan are expected to take a step back this season. But Washington, certainly more so than Michigan. They're over-under set at 6.5, just 1 year removed from playing for the national championship. And I'm on the side with Vegas. I'm going to go under here. Both the over and the under are set at minus 110, so it doesn't matter which way you lean, you're getting the same price, but I'm really comfortable with this under pick. And I've talked about before how really the key to winning in Big Ten, especially late in the season, is in the trenches, in the line of scrimmage. You have to have a good offensive line and a good defensive line to really win in the Big Ten, or at least have a shot at winning. And Washington filled out a lot of their roster pretty nicely. Will Rogers, longtime starter at Mississippi State, filling in for Michael Penix, Jonah Coleman, a great running back from Arizona, Jeremiah Hunter, a great receiver from Cal. And they have some good playmakers in the back end of their defense too, like linebacker Alfonso Tupitala and transfer cornerback Ephesians Prysock. Like, they got some athletes, they got some talent on this team. But my big problem with Washington is in the trenches. I mean, their offensive line won the Joe Moore Award for best offensive line in the Big Ten, but they got to replace their top 6 guys. They whiffed on the majority of their transfer targets, and now they're staring down the barrel of having to start a lot of either true freshmen or redshirt freshmen on that offensive line, and that is a tough ask for someone who has little to no meaningful play experience at the college level to then line up against some of these Big Ten defensive lines. It's a scary proposition for Washington, and it's a similar story on their defensive line. All of their top playmakers are gone. They brought in a couple nice transfers, but for the depth and the size that they were able to lean on last year is gone. If there's one position, if there's a couple position groups that translate the most to winning in the Big Ten, it's the offensive and defensive lines. As much as I love a lot of the other positions for Washington this season, I am terrified for their offensive and defensive lines, something I talked about on our last episode. And for that reason, I am firmly confident with my pick of under 6.5 wins. Let's take a look at their schedule. We got to find a way to find 7 wins on this schedule to debunk my underpick. Well, they start out the gate with Weber State and Eastern Michigan at home. That's an easy 2-0 start for the Huskies. Then they get their rival Washington State at home. Tricky game, but I'll say it's a 3-0 start. And then they get Northwestern coming to town. I think that's 4-0 start for the Huskies. Now, maybe I'm crazy here. Only need to find 3 more wins on the rest of their schedule. But that's where the problems start. And they have at Rutgers on a Friday night in primetime. Rutgers is a team I'm really high on this year, and I think they're going to see that as their opportunity to introduce themselves to the nation and really make a name for themselves. I have a tough time seeing Washington win that game. Then they come back home against Michigan, road games against Iowa and Indiana, and then back home against USC, on the road against Penn State, at home against UCLA, and then on the road against Oregon. Honestly, I think there's only two games that I can see them winning, and that's at Indiana and at home against UCLA. And even that game at Indiana, certainly not very confident about that. I would favor the Hoosiers in that. So I'm only seeing two wins in their final eight games, let alone the three that they need to get to that seven win mark. From the roster standpoint, I have my concerns, and I look at this schedule and it's a lot of tough games. I am really confident with my pick of under 6.5 for Washington in 2024. And our ninth pick, our last Big Ten pick for the day, is Penn State. Their over-under is set at 9.5, and I am hammering the over. The price is minus 170, so not the best bang for your buck that you can get. But if Penn State can't win at least 10 games with this schedule, then something's really wrong, and James Franklin probably will not be the coach in 2025. Before we get to their schedule, I think it's no secret how much talent this Penn State team does have. They seem to be a consensus top 10 team in the preseason rankings. Drew Aller is, for as much as he struggled last year, he's still one of the top returning quarterbacks in the Big Ten. Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, the best running back duo in the country. That's not Ohio State. And their offensive line, despite losing three starters, should be able to hang in there. And yeah, I have been vocal about my concerns about wide receiver, and they are certainly did not do what they needed to do to fill in talent at that position in order to compete for a national championship. But I do love the addition of offensive coordinator Andy Kotelnicki from Kansas. What he does is really specialize at getting the ball in the hands of his playmakers in space and letting them create after the catch. And even though I don't love the receivers, I think they got, you know, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton at running back, both great pass catchers, and they got Tyler Warren at tight end. I think that's enough to make up for the talent deficit that they have at wide receiver. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball, they got one of the best defenses in the country in Happy Valley. It starts with their defensive line. Deny Dennis Sutton and Abdul Carter, who's moving from linebacker, going to be menaces at the defensive end position, wreaking havoc on quarterbacks. They return their top four defensive tackles from last year. Kobe King entering his third year as a starter at linebacker. They do lose their top three guys at cornerback, but Cam Miller is a name to know. I think he is Penn State's next lockdown cornerback, and they return both of their starting safeties, Kevin Winston and Jalen Reed. So plenty of talent on this Penn State team, and then you look at this schedule, and I'm seeing 10, probably 11 wins. And they open up on the road at West Virginia. Not an easy win, but I would certainly expect Penn State to win that game. I'm seeing some people say this is upset watch, could be, you know, one of the good games in week one. I would expect Penn State to win by 20 points. And then they get Bowling Green, Kent State, Illinois at home, and then UCLA on the road. I'm seeing an easy 5-0 start for the Nittany Lions. Then things start to get a little tough at USC and then at Wisconsin and then at home against Ohio State. Let's figure they drop that game against Ohio State and they split that road trip, USC and Wisconsin. There are your two losses. That means they got to finish out the season 4-0. But they got Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, and Maryland. That game at Minnesota is really scary. Minnesota has played them really tough throughout the years. I already talked about how high I am on the Gophers, so that could certainly be a loss. But I'm looking at that schedule. USC, Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Minnesota, I think, are the four losable games on this schedule. They got to go 2-2. They better be able to do that. So again, I think this defense is too good. I think there's too much heat on James Franklin for him to falter this season. And I'm taking the over because I think that this is, on talent alone, the 10-2 team. I think they hit that mark. And I think Penn State will be in the college football playoff. And that'll do it for our 9 Big Ten picks. I have a 10th one coming up, a bonus from outside the Big Ten. We are going to venture down south to a team that I am really passionate about in all the wrong ways. That's Texas A&M. Seemingly the darling of every single offseason, all you hear about is how much talent they have, how well they recruited, how many 4 or 5-star prospects they have, how good this team could be if they get their act together and they play as a team and these players start to develop. But yada, it's the same story every single offseason with them. And really, with the exception of the COVID season, it seems every single year Texas A&M fails to meet the expectations that these SEC homers set up for them. And now they have to break in a new coach with Jimbo Fisher gone. And listen, I can't deny the fact that they do have a lot of 4 or 5-star prospects. They do return 18 starters. That's nothing to bash at. But at the same time, their starting quarterback is looking like it's Connor Wegman. He has been their most productive running quarterback over the past couple seasons, but I'm still seeing him as an average at best type of quarterback. And I think in the SEC, much more so than the Big Ten, you need elite quarterback play in order to win at the highest level. In order to be a top 25 team, in order to win 9 or 10 games in the SEC, you need to have really good quarterback play. And I just don't think Connor Wegman is going to be that for the Aggies in a conference that's littered with great quarterbacks. I mean, if I'm ranking the SEC teams with the best quarterback situations, I'm probably putting Texas A&M 8th or 9th. Like Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee all have much better situations at quarterback, I think, than Texas A&M. And that alone is already making me skeptical about their season. And their over-under is set at 8.5. And that means they got to hit 9 wins to hit that over. I don't see that happening. I'm taking the under. At plus 100 odds, even odds, I love that value. I am hammering this and taking it to the bank. But let's take a look at their schedule. Can we find 9 wins? Well, they open up on the road against Notre Dame. The Irish are very close to being a top 5 team for me in the preseason. I think they have one of the best defenses in all of college football, and they have a quarterback in Riley Leonard who I think is much better suited for this offense with his ability to scramble and extend plays and make plays with his legs. And that could be a really good game. It's probably the game I'm most excited to watch in week one, but I have a really hard time seeing Texas A&M with their new head coach walking into Notre Dame and getting that win first game of the season. I think they start off 0-1, and they have McNeese State that's probably 2-0. And what I noticed the most is their 3 hardest games outside of Notre Dame are Missouri, LSU, Texas. They do get those 3 games all at home. So a big boost for the Aggies. Well, that'll certainly help them out. But even so, I think Missouri, LSU, and Texas are 3 teams that are a lot better, are in much better shape for 2024 than Texas A&M is. They have much longer tenured head coaches. I think they have a much more solidified solution at quarterback than Texas A&M does. They're more experienced. I think they're more ready to win in 2024 than Texas A&M is. And there are your 4 losses right there: Notre Dame, Missouri, LSU, and Texas. But I can't ignore the fact that they do get Missouri, LSU, and Texas at home. So let's say they pull off one of the upsets. Let's say they get one of those wins. That puts them at 3 losses. Is there another loss somewhere on this schedule? Well, I look at their 4 SEC road games: at Florida, at Mississippi State, at South Carolina, at Auburn. None of those 4 teams are really great teams, but all of them are expecting to go to a bowl game this year. All of them can be very difficult places to play in, and I don't think anyone would be surprised if Texas A&M lost 1, even 2 of those games. And so I think that it's likelier that they lose one of those 4 road games than it is they win one of those 3 games at home. I feel like an 8-4 season is almost inevitable for Texas A&M with this schedule. Sure, they might get a signature win that gets people to buy in, but I think they are equally as likely to lose a game they have no business losing, and showing the nation why they are Texas A&M and they're not Texas. So under 8.5, I'm locking that in. That plus 100 odds is looking really nice. Take that to the bank. And that'll do it for this episode of the Big Ten Blitz. This was a blast going team by team, picking win total over unders. And we're going to have a lot more content like this coming up as we preview the 2024 season. Make sure you check us out on our website, thefloorslap.com, where we're posting articles every week. Check us out on Twitter or X at thefloorslap. This has been the Big Ten Blitz. As always, I've been your host, Sean. Catch you here next episode. Thanks for listening.